is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, December 2nd. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is finally C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. It's good to be in studio, Aaron, and thank you very much for holding on for me for the week and a half I've been out.
And you ain't bring no taiki for
nothing,
culture.
Nothing. So much things were happening. So much conversations were happening. I was engaged. I was listening. And I said, dang, I'm jealous because I wanted to have my voice, my input on one or two things. And I said, I gotta wait, but I'm finally here. Yeah. Today, the conversation, I had two thoughts, but I'm gonna streamline it for one thought. And something that you were going to talk about, but we ran out of time because we were having an engaging conversation with Mr. Sumner. And I said, Aaron, I already plan to talk about that anyway. So what I'll do is encompass some of the things that you wanted to speak about on that topic and fuse it to my conversation. This is what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to go straight into it because nowadays the producers want to give us two commercials instead of one commercial interrupting my stream of thought. Today we're going to talk about Ambassador at Large, meaning Rick Fox, of course, right? I'm talking about Rick Fox, right? Mm-hmm. Is he able to run that conversation? What is the difference between a Rick Fox and a Sebastian Bastian, because they're both ambassadors, mm-hmm. right? Google this in the meantime. Mm-hmm. Look what the functions of an ambassador is, so we can read that into the record, so we can appreciate what is it that Sebastian Bastian does? What is it that Rick Fox does? Sebastian Bastian has a designated ambassador position. It means that he's ambassador of something. I mean, I forget which place he's ambassador. Two places, I think, he's ambassador of. Whereas Rick Fox is an ambassador at large. We need to have a definition or a difference between an ambassador at large in contrast to an ambassador who has a designation, right? Or they have ambassador with portfolio. I think that's a different term they use.
I think Fox is ambassador at large for sports.
For sports, right? And the meaning of that, I'm not sure. What all has Rick Fox done as ambassador of large for sports, like you said, mm-hmm. and in contrast to Sebastian Bastian, ambassador.
Once you don't fall asleep in front of a camera, I'm good.
Good. So all ambassadors, mm-hmm. all ambassadors are appointed by the prime minister. So only the prime minister can hire and fire or dismiss or whatever the word
is. It's not a cabinet decision?
No, it's all but subject to the, to what do you call it, by the prime minister? Discretion of the Prime Minister.
Yeah, consulting with the
Minister
opposition.
Of Foreign Affairs. Not even Minister of.
No, it's not. They don't have to consult with the leader of the opposition.
No, not to be ambassador.
I mean, consultant don't mean
nothing.
Anything
but
much,
no, they don't have to consult. The Prime Minister decide. Yes, you are ambassador, and whatever the reference
that's
is.
So, okay, I just want to stick a pin because week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, Pintard raised concerns indicating that Clayton Fernanda had been appointed with Consul General to Canada.
Which is not an ambassador. That's a different position. And I want to talk about that too,
yeah,
but that's good.
But Pintard said, hey, aren't you supposed to consult the leader of the opposition in this process of the appointment?
Yes. Yeah. And we may have to add in the conversation the definition of a Consul General. Mm-hmm. Right, and we'll go on. Did you find the ambassador?
All right, so
position?
this is what AI has told me, because there's not a direct answer provided from Bahamian sources,
okay.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is what AI has said, and here are the sources. Let me give you the sources. Come on, man. Anyway, here we go. People-to-people program, ambassador volunteer registration. That's Bahamas government, ambassador registration for people-to-people program. MCR Bahamas, Bahamas Embassy, a complete guide, and Legal Information Institute, Wikipedia, Times Pro, Mold Stud. Okay, so I think that's Mold Study. So those are the sources for this AI overview. An ambassador in the Bahamas, whether representing a foreign country or a local program, has a function that includes managing diplomatic relations, promoting trade and cultural exchange, protecting citizens, and overseeing embassy operations. For instance, a foreign ambassador represents their home country to the Bahamian government, while a people-to-people ambassador volunteer helps visitors understand the culture and country.
So read the first line,
yeah,
because it's important for where I'm going to speak to next.
Managing diplomatic relations, promoting trade and cultural exchange, protecting citizens, and overseeing embassy operations.
No, latter part a little more.
The beginning, an ambassador in the Bahamas, whether representing a foreign country or a local program, has a function that includes those things I just listed. For instance, a foreign ambassador represents their home country to the Bahamian government. So
that's part I want to.
But I think they define. Mean like if you are the U.S. ambassador to the Bahamas, then you represent the U.S., your home country, to the Bahamas government.
That's still back to my thing.
Yeah.
You are there representing the Bahamas via the Bahamian government. Your appointment is based on the Bahamian government.
That's when you are abroad.
But no, even here, because you're ambassador at large, all of your references or your appointment is based to promote the Bahamas, whatever, if it's to sports or culture, based on the reference of the government. Give me an example.
Give you an example.
Yeah, I'm baiting you right now. Now, you are ambassador of Guardian Radio, right? We put in a government aspect, right? Let's say this official government.
Yeah.
You have a free reign to talk about any subject on the radio, because you're an ambassador and you have a free reign, right? However, you cannot disparage the appointed government, or in this case, Guardian Media.
Good. I like how you said that.
Go
so
ahead.
A couple of things.
Go ahead.
There's the question of the rules, and the rules or provisions or regulations specifically to what ambassadors can say. And I think there's a difference. The scope changes, right? Mm-hmm. If you are abroad versus at home, first point. Mm-hmm. Second point, in this particular instance, because we're talking about Fox, was Fox critiquing the government? Was Fox critiquing the country? Or was Fox critiquing party politics, which is separate from governance? Despite many government actors not being certain of that fact.
And I appreciate that. Let's go to the Constitution and who becomes the Prime Minister and what makes him based on, what that thing you always say, in 72 something?
73, 1A.
What makes, go ahead. 73, you see why I'm trying to bait you at, right?
Yeah, no, pause. So let's read it. 73, 1A says that the Governor General must appoint the person who is the leader of the party that commands.
Party?
Hold on. Leader of the party that commands the most seats. That does not, pause. No, stick a pen.
I say nothing.
No, right. Well, then continue not saying anything.
Okay.
That doesn't mean there's not a separation. In fact, that indicates there's a separation. Because
I just want to know, is it a political party they're talking about?
Stop. Don't do that. That semantics is foolish. There's a difference between a political party and the government.
No, I agree with that. I said, asking.
The Constitution makes a difference. It makes the difference. The Constitution indicates it clearly.
What I'm asking you.
The party is not the same thing as the government. So critiquing party politics is not the same
and
as
I agree
critiquing
with that.
The government.
I'm asking you, in that vein,
yeah,
are they talking about a political party when they've mentioned party? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure that it's talking about. So going back to the critique of if there was any critique by Rick Fox, and we still need to compare it to Sebastian Bastien, the difference, right?
Because he also offered critique of politics.
Yes. Or worse,
did he offer critique of politics or of politics and governance?
the question is, can an ambassador serve an ambassador, let's say he has a reference to a designated ambassador, can he critique the party that that is in government and be in terms of in line of his appointment? Let me use the wording.
Yes, he could.
Change the wording. Now, I'm saying now, so Mr. Fox did not say, make sure. If Mr. Fox, in his capacity of being an ambassador, said the Progressive Liberal Party is the worst political party in the world, and I will explain to you, just talking about the party, not about the government, and I explain to you why they are the worst political party, should the Prime Minister of the Bahamas ask him to resign if he did that?
No. It would be a... See, forget petty. I think that would be a poor move politically, because it's an indication that you're weak and you can't take a little chafing. You know?
Okay, no, once you're comfortable with it.
Pause. I don't know what you're telling me I'm comfortable with.
I'm saying...
Okay, good, because I'm miserable 99% of the time.
Yeah, right? Go ahead.
But I think in this instance, we have to ask the question, did Fox single out a particular party in his critique, or did he critique the status, the nature of politics generally?
He mentioned the governance of the by-election, right? Saying this is one of the, go ahead.
Procedural, technical.
And that all could be in semantics. But let's go back to the conversation. The difference between what Sebastian Bastian is doing and what Rick Fox is doing. Just recently, the Minister of Tourism, right, mentioned that he doesn't know if Rick Fox is Bohemian or not, or if he's Canadian or not, and whether he said all Bohemians are eligible to run, suggesting that if Rick Fox is Bohemian, he's eligible to run. People were asking whether the Sebastian Bastian is eligible to run being a an ambassador. And they have them juxtapose two ambassadors suggesting that they will run, right? Is that inappropriate? The law suggests that once the election is called, that the ambassador, the position, would have to resign before the election is taking place. And remember, we had a discussion about the senator and whether the senator Pickstock, should have resigned and how early should he resign before the by-election. And I mentioned to you that once the by-election has not come and he has the position.
Now, is that Westminster system or is that Eastminster system that these guys have bastardized?
Well, you know, they bastardized a lot of things, right?
Yeah. I think the central point is this. Did your lack of attention to what Ambassador Bastian was doing set a precedent that you're unwilling to acknowledge, right? Because what has Fox done that differs from what Bastian has done?
And
if it differs, in what way does it differ?
Yes.
Because I think
both are able to run. Let's say that.
Yeah.
Let's declare it. Even if you're an ambassador, you're able to run or vie for politics because the Constitution allows it. However, before the general election, and this is where the bastardization comes in, because one would assume that you resign early because you already intend to run. And semantics and whether...
I want to know is if there's a difference between the protocol for the ambassador and then the protocol for the director of labor. Or the position that John Pinder held when he was first vying for an FNM nomination and then when he got the FNM nomination, right? Is there a difference? Because in the conversation about John Pinder, the question was, when was the first public exposure of your intention? Right? When's the first time you went walking with an FNM placard? When's the first time you went walking with an FNM t-shirt?
Sound like you're talking about a general manager of ZNS, but I'm sure you
know. Yeah, I know, because I didn't mention his name at all. You see what I'm saying? When we move it back now to Fox, right? Are we ignoring the precedents that we have already set?
We have set a precedent.
I mean...
But this is where the constitutional intellectuals should have come into play. and have that conversation. It didn't happen. We've had the banter back and forth, questioning the integrity.
And we ain't nobody. We ain't nobody.
We jabronis.
Yeah.
Right? And we continue to have the conversation, right? This is what I want to add into the conversation. Both ambassadors serve at the pleasure of the prime minister, mm-hmm. right? So if the prime minister is not displeased on what they are doing, they can continue.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned on your platform before on social media, what's the difference? At this present time, it seems, I assume, that Sebastian Bastian is serving at the pleasure, him running, suggests that he's serving at the pleasure of the prime minister. He gives him permission to run, to campaign at because of the pleasure of the prime minister. By semantics now, the semantics yeah. I'm talking
about. But see, here's
semantics.
The thing. For the party that the prime minister is a member of,
mm-hmm.
the prime minister cannot give Fox or any ambassador permission to run for another party.
It seems like he did.
No, you can't do that.
Or for another party or for our party?
For another party.
Okay.
Or for any party.
Mm-hmm.
See, prime minister versus the leader of the party.
Mm-hmm.
These are two separate offices.
Mm-hmm.
See, what we've done is we've removed the office from the conversation. That's why I wanted to talk about this word parasocial,
mm-hmm.
right?
Give me a definition of parasocial before you move on.
All right. So Cambridge Dictionary word of the year is parasocial. Parasocial reflects, describes a one-sided relationship often with a celebrity, a social media influencer, or even an AI chatbot.
Break that down into
all right. So you begin to form a relationship with somebody that you don't actually interact with personally, face to face. You don't even know them. So Taylor Swift, the public response to Taylor Swift's romance with the football player, people are all around the place talking about it as if Taylor Swift is their sister. Like, I know her. These people, I stood in their wedding. I know these people, right? And we form these relationships with people we don't know. They're like ghosts in the machine.
So that interacts with this.
Yes.
Rick Fox is a celebrity.
Is he more? Now pause. Is he more of a celebrity?
I reached it yet. I know you're going. I gonna reach there. Is Rick Fox a celebrity?
Yes.
I don't know Rick Fox.
Yes, he's a celebrity.
And I know where we're going, and we're gonna go there.
Yeah.
I want to know is what makes Rick Fox a good candidate besides being an international celebrity.
He's Bayman. That's it.
That's Bayman. Okay.
Yeah, because you ask me any of these people would make them a good candidate.
Yeah.
The only thing I could tell you is because there's a Bayman.
Now, let me go at my next question.
Yeah, yeah.
Is a Sebastian a celebrity?
Yes.
Why is Sebastian a celebrity? He's a regular Bayman. He works. He lives here. Why would you call him a celebrity?
First of all, does he work here? Second of all, does he live here? Third of all, is he a pick stock but better? Is he like a pick stock 3.0? Does he live here and there and somewhere else, which is not in this jurisdiction?
I remember Pixar said he has two houses.
Right.
He lives together. But why would you still? I try to understand.
Why
Sebastian
would I? Let me frame it out. I don't consider Sebastian Bastian as a celebrity, but looking at social media and media over the last 10 to 15 years, who is more of a celebrity than Sebastian Sebas? Island Luck. Who's more of a celebrity than the Big Bang? Who's had people line up for hours waiting to see him, to touch his hem, to get something from him, right? The only celebrity I know more popular than Sebastian is Sir Jabats.
Mm.
We don't catch feelings, we catch flights, right? In the average Bahamian's mind, in the working class people's mind, who is Rick Fox? We know Sebastian.
You know Sebastian?
Sebastian's been a legend. I mean, people have been talking. This boy is the epitome of Bahamian celebrity. And in the eyes of the average Bahamian, you can't tell me that Rick Fox is more of a celebrity than Sebastian.
Let me bait you some
you
more.
Forget the gambling conversation when this boy say, why are y'all trying to persecute and prosecute me? My business is established in the Isle of Man.
You have an Isle of Man business? That boy be huge. But anyway.
I mean, I may be mistaken with the jurisdiction, but I know it wasn't here.
Let's talk about, and I see the caller, I'm coming to you right now. Let's talk about vested. Some would say that when you're comparing the two ambassadors, Sebas is more vested in contrast to a Rick Fox.
His businesses are more
and
vested.
And I'm going to let you explain that too. They said that they know what Sebas car Sebastian like or what he drives. They say they'll know that what Sebastian like to eat, with Bambi Shack, whatever it is.
See, I just want to stick a picture. The word parasocial. Yeah. You getting it now?
I can let you explain.
Yeah.
Whereas there's no narrative of a Rick Fox other than he plays basketball as a movie star and that his family, he come from a good family. We all come from good families, so I'm not sure why they use that, right? What is the narrative? Is there need for a local narrative of a Rick Fox? And is there a local narrative for a Sebastian? And I come to you right now, Carla, so don't hang up. Go ahead.
I mean, sure, there's always a need for a local narrative. Like, what's your legacy? What's your impact? Do people really, can your work and your presence really be felt in the country, right? By ordinary people, feet on the ground? That's a very important question. It's something that Rick Fox has to answer. You got to answer it. How do you relate to the people? Right? We know how Sebas relates to the people from a distance on the big stage.
I still need you to define that, but let's go to the caller. But I'm going to go back because remember, the gentleman has traveled a lot. His social life is different from mine's.
The both of them.
I'm still trying to find out how Snow look, but that's just me.
What's I saying?
I won't go Aspen. Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio. Cola here. Guardian Radio AM.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, this is CA. Go ahead.
Welcome back, my friend. Miss Korean did a good job for
she
you.
She did. She did. Thank
while
you.
While you were so catching those chick Chinese for her.
Yes.
But listen to me. Name two things. I wouldn't say one because he might have do something I don't know about. Name two things that Rick Fox ever did in the Bahamas.
You take that cheesy picture. Take the cheesy picture with the limo with the people. Was it during the COVID? I didn't like that picture. But, I mean, like, your point taken, we don't even have to argue it. You know?
No, but let me say something. If Rick Fox believes, his thing is saying that he believes we're losing time or we're losing out. One, why don't he come? He said he'd run as an independent or he would come with allying himself with a political party. What Rick Fox is trying to do with us is play with the minds of the people to see who could fall in his trap, to see which way to go. I won't, if I had anything to do with the PLB, I would not let Rick Fox be a part of the PLB.
That's harsh words.
It would cause a problem.
No, that's harsh words.
No, it would cause a problem.
Mm. I tell you what.
Because the problem would now be, he would be trying to compete against Sabat and not D.
Stick a pin. Hold on. Stick a pin right there. Okay, good. Now, Fox may be seen as a threat that Fox would be there to compete with Sebas, right? See, I could see why ordinary jabroni like me or anybody would, like a Rick Fox or a Sebas Bastian would be attractive to them as a candidate. I can tell you why. For me, it's because remember with Minister's first election, and we asked the question. I think I was on Lester Cox show maybe, but we asked the question of value, right? In terms of, I think it was Perry and, was it Perry and Minnis? Anyway, the point was the question of whether the leader had more credit than the party, right? Like who was the biggest star power, the party or the person, right? Fox and Bastian become attractive to me as a candidate because they got enough money, power, and influence to have real influence in the cabinet. But, hold on, we equals among equal, but we know that the things don't share equally. Hold on, to constituencies, right? So what's attractive to me is an MP who could become a minister who could get things done.
Ms. Green, let me ask you a question. You see how Sabas spends money. The back to school, the big bang.
Charity as opposed to structural reform? Charity versus structural reform is what I see. I see a continual.
Thank you very much, Colin.
Yeah, I see a continual petty pittance into charity when the person specifically has the power to cause structural reform, which then reduces the need for charity.
And I appreciate that. And it's something the PLP would have to deal with because Sebastian Bastian's presence will change how Bahamian members of parliament do right. politics.
And so when the caller said for Fox to come in and compete with Bastien, right? If I'm a regular, degular MP
or regular, degular
person, mm-hmm. that's a value to me because one man with all that money can easily sway influence of the entire party. But with two giants fighting it out, right?
I want to read this and then go to the callers. It says, this is from the Minister of Foreign Affairs. This is a quote from the newspaper, right? Mm-hmm. It says, an ambassador represents the government, its policies, and its positions abroad, he said, which means Fred Mitchell, right? Mm-hmm. If at any time an ambassador finds himself or herself unable to faithfully carry out that mandate because of differences of opinion with the appointing authority, the honorable course of action is clear. No instruction is required. Honorable people know what they must be done in such circumstances.
Okay,
this is just hinting that he's asking.
Ain't Fox no
to
honorable people in the PLP then because they refuse to adhere to the honor system created by the Westminster system.
Yes.
First of all, let's get back to the second point. Mm-hmm. Is the Minister of Foreign Affairs suggesting that because Fox's commentary was shared online on social media that he's speaking in a foreign jurisdiction? Right? Because he's speaking at home about local issues. He's not speaking about the government or the country in a foreign jurisdiction to foreigners.
I see the two callers. You see they put me on commercial break. Don't hang up. Especially if you're not on the cell phone. You go through the listening to the commercials. And when we come back, we're coming directly to you. I see the two callers. I'm not even going to do any commentary. I'm going to just allow you to speak. So bear with us. This is Guardian Radio AM. I have Aaron Green joining me. I'm back. Yeah. So we'll be right back in a brief moment.
You know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I wait?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $50,000 to provide holiday meals for families in need. But we need your help. From November 3rd to December 17th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Cost Right, Fresh Markets, Eleuthera Markets, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in New Providence, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, this is C.A. Nuri. Aaron Green is joining me. I have the two callers. I promise I'm coming straight to you. So it's your time to talk now, callers. Go ahead. Caller, can you hear me? Patrick True. Go ahead, caller. You're live. He says coming right back, caller. Go ahead, caller. You're live. Let's go to the next one again. Go ahead, caller. You're live.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, definitely. Go ahead. It's you.
Listen, are we looking at the fact that this Vienna Convention sort of grants some level of immunity from the local jurisdiction for these ambassadors? You know, it is a sovereign appointment. If it were a contract, maybe there could be some other talks. But have you looked at this convention? Because maybe that might give him the, or all of them.
No. Let me have to stop you. The sovereign you're talking about, or the convention you're talking about, is given to us, given to them by us. We appointed the ambassador. The person is not an ambassador unless we appoint them. But we give them the extension of whatever rights.
But I think that diplomatic immunity, what it means is that if you're Bahamian and you've been appointed to be an ambassador abroad in another country, and like you commit a traffic infraction, right? Like you may have diplomatic immunity in the country you've been assigned to, right? And then what happens is that the matter may be investigated, the government speak, and the home government may be a request to recall that ambassador. Look here, we're gonna need you to send this boy back home and send us another one.
Because, you know, they do have international legal protections under this Vienna Convention.
I mean, the way some of them drive, yeah, you could see that. But the point is, the protection is not protection from the government that appointed you. The protection is protection in the jurisdiction you've been assigned to.
Okay.
And then, I mean, I could be honest with you, this is my law and order education, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the government speak and a decision is made, and in most instances, prosecution doesn't take place, but that ambassador is recalled.
But Aaron, wouldn't it have been better if we have them contractually arranged instead of appointed?
I mean,
there's a protocol. Whatever the protocol is internationally, this is what we go through.
And consider that those protocols are like the contract, the terms of the contract.
But you know, it's not a contract. But you seem to be discussing it. Obviously, there's some gray areas here, right?
Yeah. And we need to discuss it.
Well, hold on. And I think the point that you're making, I think that we need to talk to our government about defining or redefining the scope of the role of ambassadors. Because we have an ambassador, and all I see him doing is caricatures for famous people.
He's ambassador of caricatures or culture. He draws pictures. That's his job. And he makes signs.
I would like to thank you for that. And I'd like to thank you, Uncle. Today marks the day. If I cannot get an ambassadorship of talking foolishness.
Also, I want to mention, because I'm going to be vague with it, because this is before the courts. We have an ambassador or equivalent in Miami who was involved in a traffic accident.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm not sure if he's being recalled, but it's a serious traffic accident, whereas it was mentioned in the United States News, it was mentioned in our local news. It gone quiet in the media regarding it, but it was a serious accident.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what is happening. That should have been a part of our national discourse so we understand the procedures of the role and the ramifications of the role. But it is.
Apparently, the people who represent us, the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, we should have no interest in what's going on in that space.
We should have been talking about that still. Let's go to the call again. Guardian Radio AM, go ahead, caller.
Hey, gracious, you're CA and Ms. Green. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Wait a minute. Why people try to pin them two red people against one another?
Which one is
you
red?
You're black on black crime. You think we need red on red crime?
I thought you was going to say rich on rich crime.
But let's pause.
And second,
I can't let you go. Mm-hmm. Hold on. So you brighter than Sebas, Aaron. What color, what complexion are you?
You sure I brighter than Sebas?
Yeah, I know, I see you. You brighter than Sebas. You like a sun and he's like the moon.
Well, I could be honest. So, I'm a King Charles mulatto.
So are you red or are you brown skin?
I don't know.
Me?
But Sebastian, you're red.
It depends on where I am in the world.
Foxy in red.
When I went to Suriname, I was a white woman.
Yeah, but yeah, that's true. in contrast.
And second thing I want to make a note on, right? You think any the FNM or the PLP would actually run spokes after he made the statement about the Bahamas, he want to do something with the corruption? Because I think people felt a little funny about that, about that statement.
Our prime minister, our former prime minister, say he's one of the most corrupt people.
The only people who felt funny about what he said.
You know his head ain't too good.
No, stop that. Stop it.
Listen, we don't take... Yeah, we saw him walking in the flood water barefoot after the storm, but still he has sense. We still believe he has sense.
We don't mind nothing what he says. No, that one is a little different. So we let him slide on whatever he say.
Leave my former prime minister.
I thought you was talking about rich on rich crime.
Yeah. You finished? Go ahead. Let's go to the next one. Go ahead, caller. Guided Radio AM. Back to caller true. Go ahead, caller. You're live.
Hey, good afternoon, Aaron.
Good afternoon.
And good afternoon, CA.
Blessings.
Hey, I really... Guys, you guys think if Rick Fox had openly started his comments by, you know, saying that he is in support of one of these parties, right? Like, say, let's stay with the PLP governing party. If he did come out from the break and say, look here, hey, I support the PLP and I'm looking for a nomination, you think we would have been having this education information given about the rules of ambassador, we would have been plunged right back into the same status quo of, you know, back and forthness. I really believe, right, once you stand up in this country or go against the status quo in any way, then you become the highlight. You become like the person or the thing that the people start to mock, because, you know, the status quo is so overwhelming in this country to the point that, hey, you even have rights to go against it. So, but I'm saying that to say is, I think I heard you said, Aaron, that, you know, you and this man went to school and you all grew up and run up to the bush. And all
White, that's Adrian White. We not went to school together, but I grew up in the same neighborhood as him. And
right.
They chase us little girls out the bush plenty of time, talking about only boys in here.
Okay. So, all right. So they hear all this rhetoric being spread about Mr. Fox, right?
Mm-hmm.
Simply because he decided to go against the status quo of this nation. We need a change in this country. And it appears that every time anybody decides that they can stand up against that, then they try on the system, try all they have to cut the person down. And that's what I'm saying when it relates to Mr. Fox, because before he started any of his rhetoric, the FNM and the PLP, they was hopeful that he was going to join them. But after he started to speak, and they realized, no man, this man's sentiments ain't lining up with what we all about.
Let us respond to that, then. I appreciate your point. I understand your point you're trying to make. And the point has merit. But we still need to define what is the role and scope of an ambassador. Can the ambassador speak against the government? Or if they do negative commentary about or social commentary, can the government interpret that as anti-government rhetoric, even if they're not talking specifically about the government?
Let me tell you something. You see that red light flashing? Please don't let me ask you why you're using this term anti-government rhetoric.
Go ahead, explain.
Because who promulgates more anti-government rhetoric than government actors and politicians? Who? Who? In this country? Who? Nobody, not a soul. There's nobody could be labeled with pushing more anti-government rhetoric than government actors, politicians, political party members, and leaders. Who? In fact, they're responsible for the bastardization of the entire Westminster system in this country. They're the reason why people don't know how things are supposed to go.
What if I tell you the best of us, meaning the politicos, their interpretation of our Constitution is the best they can interpret. So you can't fault them because this is our best definition of
defining
it.
The next thing you can tell me is no. The people who we can give the guns to don't need more than 5 BJC. In fact, they don't need more than 4.
Where you going?
That's the exact thing. Hold on. Uh-huh. That's the exact thing. Now we have people who don't think there's value in getting 5 BJCs telling us what the traffic law is supposed to be in contradiction to what they actually are. And so the same thing. Just because people voted you into government doesn't mean you understand the Constitution or have the right to interpret it. That's why we have courts. Unfortunately, we also have politicians that set the price to access those courts above the heads of the average Bahamian.
Let's go to the callers. Let's go to the first caller there, Kermit. Guiding Radio AM, you're live.
So how are you?
Trying to make good space for you. Sir. Go ahead.
You know, I was by one of Sabas. I passed by one of Sabas' establishments. I didn't look at this, right? And I asked the security officer at the door, if he would mind how much to tell me how much he made per hour. He told me $7.50. You know, and that kind of makes me, you know, the amount of his value, you know, only paying $7.50 to an employer.
Yeah,
security officer.
That let me do the math. That was my calculator walking in the room just now. I get a fancy phone. When I hit the calculator button,
what's $7.50 per hour for the whole week?
That's what I'm trying to do. $7.50 by.
What's the minimum wage? I don't even know the minimum wage anymore. What's
minimum wage? $6.50. That's only a dollar above minimum wage. You know, minimum wage is garbage.
$7.50 times 40 equals $300 a week. But hold on.
Right.
Hold on. That's if their employer and then the person who hired the security company is.
Cousin,
call right back. Just call right back. Because I touched the button just now. That's if the security company that hires them out, right? The security company that's been contracted and the company that contracted them are following the Employment Act, right? Because we've had a serious problem here where people who own security firms feel that they're not obligated to follow the law and have tried to coerce their staff into signing away their constitutionally guaranteed rights like overtime, and they have these people working 12 hours a shift as if they are uniformed forces like the Royal Bahamas Defense Force and the police force, and nobody is protecting them. Nobody is protecting these vulnerable people.
I think he meant the cashiers. He was complaining that the cashiers are getting too low.
No, he said the security guard at the door told him that he was making $7.50, which is only a dollar over minimum wage. But the point that I am making is that's $7.50 times 40 hours is $300 if the company that you're working for is following the law and not requiring you to work a 12-hour shift without recognition of overtime rights.
Let's prep that caller there, Kermit.
Thank you, because thank you for giving me that.
No, I understood.
Because
I
nobody is protecting these security workers.
Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM. Call you there. Call Gurren once. Call Gurren twice. Let's go back to the conversation. No, I appreciate your point about the security. I know you spoke about it before. That's why I said let's take it
to court, and the judge had to tell the people, no, you can't waive your constitutionally guaranteed right, and no, you can't make people do that.
So let's go back to the conversation about Sebastian Bastian and Rick Fox.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Both serve at the pleasure of the prime minister. At this present time, it's a concern whether who is breaching the confidence of the prime minister. To this point, the prime minister ain't complained. We see the Minister of Foreign Affairs making agitation of something is untoward and suggesting that people resign. But at this present time, to me, since the Prime Minister ain't complained yet, he content with both ambassadors, right? There is a contention or a concern about various people, unless you call her, that ambassadors at large or ambassadors should not speak out against the government or any of their critique can be interpreted again as anti-government. If it can be interpreted as that you need to step down. I have no problem with Rick Fox or Sebastian running. especially if they're going to resign before the election is called, whatever that day is. And we mentioned that the interpretation of bastardization of...
the Westminster system.
Yes, the Westminster system on how long should one resign, particularly when we have general managers of other entities who work for government. And you mentioned the director of labor
in the prior...
whether their mandate or protocol came under general orders or whether it's a different system. In terms of what does general orders say about an employee who is running for government, when should they resign versus other mandates from other people? Let's go to this caller, though.
And I guess the question would have been, would Pinder require permission? What tier was he in?
Yeah.
Was he in the lower tier, the second tier, the third tier? Would he require permission to engage in
depending
those acts?
On tier.
And did he get the permission?
Yes, go. Go ahead, caller. And then remember Renwood Wells. He did the same thing. He had a... take time off in order to pursue.
Mr. Turn left on right?
Yeah. Let's go call it Guardian Radio AM.
Yeah, CA and Aaron. Good morning. You know, I believe firmly that once you pick a side, let's say, for example, in Clint Watson's case, he should have resigned. You don't have to wait for the date of election to be called. Once you pick a side and you're still holding the position, you should resign. That's how it works. Not when the date of election is called. Because what if the date of election is called a month out or 2 months out? That means all this time he's going to be acting in the capacity of general manager while campaigning. That don't make no sense. But and then in respect to Rick Fox, Donald Trump once said that he was one of the most well-liked persons in America.
But this Donald Trump?
The day he declared, CA, that he wants to run for president, he became one of the most hated. So that's exactly what is happening in Rick Fox's case. You know, these politicians, they guard and they protect their territory. And when you come in with these ideas to ruffle some feathers, of course they're going to come after you and you'll become one of the most hated. That's what Rick Fox never received this amount of criticism over the years he was playing basketball.
He never criticized the government. He never criticized the government till now.
No, but the bottom line is whenever you do it, that's the price that you pay. But I have no problem with him or Sabas running. But I believe that in Sabas case, he's already resigned. You can't be an ambassador on campaigning. Man, what type of country are you running?
Do you know if the official opposition has raised any concern about Sebastian not resigning as yet? I'm asking if the opposition have they raised any concerns.
You know, but and then when you look at what they're doing, I mean, it don't make a difference, you know, CA and Aaron, because when you look at successive ambassadors over the years, they've received food from what they've been doing over the years. They live the best, you know. You would like to see some of the palaces that they live in.
Now,
they're acting the role, but they're not really producing anything.
Now, Duncan, that's something I don't know if we could just leave that one there. Is there sufficient evidence to expose to the public? Right? Does the public know the value or the return on investment on the ambassadors? I can't say that they're not achieving things. I cannot say that they're not being productive.
But they were doing things over the years. Have you heard about it?
Yeah, man. I've heard things, and that's the point I'm making. It's not sufficiently public, and I think that the government should, as a matter of course, show the Bahamian people at the end of every year, at the end of every term, this is the return on investment in our diplomatic service. These are the things that we have achieved, right? And this is the rationale, and this is this is the intended outcome. Like, hey, yeah, we voting.
And then compare it, Aaron. Compare it with the amount of money and pomp and pageantry.
I am agreeing with you generally that there's not enough clarity in that space. I'm telling you, we don't have enough information available to us to make the comparison, and that in and of itself is an indictment.
That's agreed. And then you're doing Rick Fox an injustice because you're not reading his response to Fred Mitchell's comment. That is very important.
I'm not sure if an ambassador will be going back and forth with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
Now, that's a point there. I don't know if Fox should respond to Mitchell. I don't know if Mitchell should have spoken publicly about it, right? Because are you using the guise of Minister of Foreign Affairs to make a statement that the chairman of the PLP actually wants to make?
That's another. That's a good point you're raising again, Aaron. But at the end of the day, whatever side, whichever side Fox doesn't choose, he's going to become the most hated person from that grouping in the Bahamas. That's just the danger of politics.
Well, you know, one of the earlier callers used the term status quo, right? What happens when you challenge the status quo? And I want to change that and just replace status quo with political culture.
Okay, I thousand word essay on what happens to you when you challenge the status quo. But I'll save that for another day. But I'm still standing, despite they come after me. I'm still standing.
There you go. We know how it is. Remember when was it? You and I remember when we were supposed to do that show and I didn't show up and you called me and you riled me and I had to tell you when I called the station to verify the address. The people tell me the show is a no go.
Yeah, we know this thing, Aaron. We live this thing every day. You know?
Clever, enjoy the conversation.
They come after us, but that's okay. We do it in the best interest of the country.
Thanks for the call, Clever. I continue to enjoy when you call in and challenge us. So thanks again.
Yeah, man.
Yes. But go ahead, Aaron.
So let's get back to parasocial now.
Yes. There's two definitions, though. Diane, that's just one you gave.
Well, no, rage bait was the other word.
Okay, go ahead.
My whole show yesterday was rage bait.
Okay.
Okay, but parasocial, now that we've had these conversations with Bahamians, parasocial is, it describes a one-sided relationship, often with a celebrity, social media influencer, or even a chatbot. Like you get catfish by, they have chatbots now. In fact, they have apps. They have apps where you go on the app and you select a companion. And it's like, and the commercial, the advertisement for the app is, you ain't tired of talking to all these scrubby little bitem out here that don't have nothing in their brain and no emotional intelligence. Why you don't come on this app and create your own companion, right? Do you see the way we talked about Rick just now, calling him Rick, and Sabas just now calling him Sabas, as if we know these people personally, as if we have relationship with them, as if we sit at the bar with them when they get their Kong salad and sit and talk with them about how their mommy and their daddy doing. We don't know these people like that, but we've imported so much into them. That's what parasocial frames, what it describes, the way we form these relationships with these people. And it's something that those people have to address if they want to be candidates for us.
Let me bait you again. I want you to give advice in terms of the campaign. We go both. We can start off with Sebastian Bastian first.
Uh-huh.
His campaign seems very affluent. Giving things away. You as a onlooker, critical analysis, an analyst, and social commentator, right? What advice would you give us, Bastian, on his campaign moving forward?
Don't listen to these people around you. Stop listening to them. People don't want or need charity. They need structural reform.
I want my roof fixed. No?
Yes, you should. Hold on.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
You should want your roof fixed. Yeah. You deserve safe accommodation, and you have an obligation to provide it to your dependents. Mm-hmm. You should not have to rely on charity to get your roof fixed, and that's the problem. And nobody should have to rely on charity. There should be a sustained home repair program throughout the nation.
So you recommend that he start one or have the government implement one?
You start one in your constituency, you build the model, you detail it so that it can be replicated in other constituencies, creating a partnership, a PPP, a public-private partnership with local stakeholders in the country, right? You ask them, look here, if you're not in the constituency, assign yourself to a constituency, and you create a program, and then you tell the government, look here, every agency, company, entity that participates in this program gets some sort of tax concession, right, or incentive to continue it. And we identify the most vulnerable people. We work with social services, urban renewal, to identify the most vulnerable people. And then you partner with BTVI to begin the skills building program in each constituency. So the labor comes from the constituency, and ultimately you creating entrepreneurs and small business people who can manage these programs, these businesses, and provide affordable services to their constituents.
How does Mr. Bastian separate his wealth or his apparent, or people looking at him as someone to get money from? How does he separate that from the campaign?
He has to he has to do it publicly, and this is when he has to get the party involved, right? Because then people can say, well, you can't see so-and-so getting out money, and you ain't getting out money. He has to say, I am setting a new protocol, a new precedent, right? Every dollar you don't see me give away in charity, you will see me invest in structural reform. Make it visible so people could see where the money is going. The things that you expected in charitable handouts, you can now go to a sustained program for assistance, and you won't be turned away once you fit the criteria.
We have two rich PLP MPs. Let me explain it.
Only two?
I can explain it right now. In terms of what they spend on their constituency.
Okay.
That's for the wealth. You have that Jo Beth Colby who look like she have more money than this. That's going to say more money than God.
She have private.
And then you have that Leslie Bryce who seems to have more money than God. How does that space of Sabas coming into that campaign and having these two people in the forward who spending money like crazy in contrast to all our MPs?
Yeah.
How can he not spend money?
Oh, I can tell you how. Because what you do is you identify those two MPs and you say, listen, now that there's three of us, we could begin a real shift to structural reform and start creating programs as opposed to perpetuating a petty political patronage where people expect gifts and want to find somebody they could call daddy. I need somebody I could call my daddy so I could... How it go, bro? How it go, daddy? Do something for me. I ain't got no money.
My wife call me Zaddy.
That's because that's your wife. She's the only person who's allowed to call you that.
I'm saying.
I don't fight people.
Hey, Zaddy.
Did I go to your wedding? If I went to your wedding, I'm obligated to be prepared.
I understand.
Y'all stop calling people that are not your caregivers daddy.
Tomorrow we might talk jokingly. This has been Guardian Radio AM. Thank you very much, Aaron Green, for your commentary. Bahamas, see you tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.